aware of those that we need to especially remember in our prayers. Sister Josephine Spears, one of her niece's husbands, has contracted the COVID-19. They live in Alabama, and he is at the present time in ICU, and we want you to please keep them in your prayers. We're also happy to announce that Sister Esther Cox is at home at the present time, and she is doing very well, and want you to please keep her in your prayers also. You know, our little Sister Cole had so many troubles with the diabetes and was in the hospital for a while. She was able to go back home for a while, but now they have had to amputate her leg. So Sister Cole and her family stand in need of your prayers. Please keep her in your prayers. We also wish to extend our sympathy to Brother Rick Bryan and his family on the loss of an uncle, Reuben Smith, who passed away this past Sunday. Please keep them in your prayers. If there's anything that you need from us, brethren, please contact the office. Let us know of anything that is happening whereby we can have prayer with you, or anything that we may need to be able to help you with. We will have our regular service today, just as we usually do. After these announcements, Brother Paul will direct us in a song. Brother Lee is going to direct us in prayer. Then Brother Boyce Edwards will bring us our lesson this morning. It will then be followed by a psalm by Brother Paul, and then we're going to participate in partaking of the Lord's Supper and the contribution. Then, of course, we will have closing prayer. God bless each and every one of you. Let us know again, as I said, if you are in need. Oh, by the way, in reference to your contribution, you desire to bring it by the building, let us know, and we'll be able to assist you that way. Or you can go to PayPal and to the email address for the church and send it that way. And again, we appreciate you for your continued support. More than anything, brothers and sisters, we need to pray for each other. And let us pray for the church of our Lord, that we may continue and go forward. And when this crisis is over, we're going to be stronger. I did want to mention to you that Cherokee Children Home Drive, they will not have the Cherokee Day this year. They may reschedule it, but at the present time, because of this COVID-19, they're not able to have it. But they are hoping that we'll be able, the churches can collect, and then they will be able to pick those up at a later date. We will collect through May the 3rd a macaroni and cheese, spaghetti, elbow and egg noodles, pasta sauce, spaghetti sauce, and any canned tomato products. You can drop these off at the Annex Fellowship Hall if you have a key. If you do not, be sure to call the office and we will make arrangements for you. God bless each and every one of you at this time. Brother Paul now is going to direct us in a song.
We have a hymn book. It's number 266. As you can see this on the monitor, for those who don't have a book, that will work as well. don't have that one on the monitor. So it's number 266 if you have a book. If you don't, then we will have to rely on memory. 266.
Wonderful story of love. Tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angel with rapture announce it. Shepherd with wonder receive it. Sinner, on what you believe it. Wonderful story of love. 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 Though you are far away, wonderful story of love. Still heed the call today. Calling from Calvary Mountain, down from the crystal bright mountain, in from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love. 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 Jesus provides a rest. Wonderful story of love. For all the pure and blessed, rest in those mansions above us. With those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love. Wonderful story of love.
Pray with me, please. Our gracious and merciful Father in heaven, we're thankful, Father, that we can worship together, especially during this time of isolation. Father, we know that we might not be together physically, but we are together in spirit and in truth. Father, we are thankful for Jesus Christ, your Son, and our wonderful Savior, that he died and shed his blood that we can have that precious hope. That hope that, Father, that will never fade away. The hope of eternal life. Father, we know that all things are possible with you. And that there's nothing in this life, Father, can oppose their hand. Help us to understand, Father, that even though we have the challenges of life and this coronavirus, Father, our health, sickness, the death of our loved ones, even, Father, the aging of our bodies, that if we live by faith, all things will be all right. Father, we know, Father, that many other congregations that are hurting, and we ask, Father, that you may be with them. We also pray, Father, that you may be with us this morning as well as be with our families. We are mindful, God, of this nation and the difficulties they are facing at this time. We pray, Father, for the leaders of this country. We ask, Father, for wisdom at this time, Father, during the decisions that they have to make. And we pray, Father, that all things will be in accordance with your will. We're mindful as well, Father, of the church. And we pray, Father, that you may bless each member this morning. Thank you, Father, for their health, and we pray for continued health and strength in their body. Father, we're mindful as well of the military, and especially those, Father, in faraway places and separated from their families, Father.
And those, Father, who are not able to be with their family during this time of virus. And we pray for them, Father. And we pray that blessings, richest blessings, be upon them as well. Now, Father, as we continue in our worship this morning, we pray, Father, that we may all do all things, Father, according to the pattern that's laid out for us in the Bible. Thank you for your love. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, thank you for being with us this morning. If we seem a little bit disorganized, it's because we are. We've never done this before, and our purpose here is to communicate with you. We are here with the intention of glorifying God, and we hope that the service will be beneficial for everyone who has tuned in with us. Thank you again for being with us through Facebook. I suppose I could have chosen a thousand different texts, but I have chosen this morning the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that deals with Paul's thorn in the flesh. I want to say that our time is very limited this morning, so there will be many things that I would normally say that I will not have time to say this morning. Paul tells us in verse 1, reading from the King James Version, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. Though it is not expedient, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." What Paul is doing here was not necessarily advantageous or possible from one vantage point, but he needed to do it. Instead of glorying in the wonderful thing that had happened to him, and in particular, the great revelation that was made to him in the third heaven and paradise, he will glory in his sufferings and the things that happened to him that we would look upon today as negative. Verse 2 and 3 says, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven." The record there tells us, brethren, that Paul wrote of an event that occurred more than 14 years prior to the time. No one can know with certainty the time. My own opinion is that this goes back to the year 41, perhaps 40. If you start with 55 and count backwards, that's what you end up with, because you have to go past 14 years into the 15th year. But here's a point I want to emphasize. Even if Paul told us in this context the exact year, exact month, and exact day, the powerful lesson that we learn here would not be enhanced by knowing that date. So if we put forth a date that misses by 2, 3, or 4 years, the message is not taken away. Please keep that in mind. Sometimes we get tied up with dates. Sometimes we get into arguments over what the thorn in the flesh is, and we miss the entire point before us. So let's keep those points in our mind. Verse 3 says, "I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." We notice in verse 3 that Paul says he was caught up to the third heaven. We notice in verse 4 that he was caught up into paradise. So these two are equated. Paradise is equivalent to third heaven and vice versa. "Of such an one," Paul says, "will I glory, yet of myself. I will not glory but in mine infirmities." But Paul says here in the context, I'm not going to boast on behalf of the great things that happened to me. I will boast concerning my infirmities. And later on he will tell us why, because in that context he's made stronger. In verse 7 he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. I want you to see that twice in the verse, Paul makes the statement, lest I should be exalted above measure. Pride has taken many members of the Lord's body back to the devil. Paul has just told us in the context here that some 14 plus years prior to the time that he writes, he was taken up into the third heaven or paradise. He received there great revelations, so great that God did not allow him to express those revelations. This was a context where if Paul had chosen to do so, he could have stuck out his chest and said, look how great I am. God was aware of that. And so God allowed Satan to buffet Paul by in the flesh things. So out of that context, he would not be tempted to be exalted with pride. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. That's the statement we find in James chapter 4 and verse 6. In a similar statement in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, starting with the end of verse 5, James will say, God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Let us therefore humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon him, for he cares for us. You know, as I think about the coronavirus, the thought that passes through my mind as I think about this great text is, maybe the world is getting too proud. Maybe America is getting too proud because of all of its blessings. You know, the old-timers in this part of the country used to use this expression to refer to proud people. He's getting bigger than his britches. Maybe America has gotten too big for her britches. Maybe even God's people need to be reminded that God is in control. Maybe every child of God today needs to be placed in a context where we realize urgently and desperately how much we need God. Now, the application of this great lesson is God's grace is sufficient. I want to point out here in verse 7 that if I were translating, I would not have translated the word angelos as messenger. I would have translated the word as angel. When you look to the record in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 and verse 9, you will notice that Satan has angels. That seems to me to be a preferred translation here. That because of the great thing that had happened to the Apostle Paul and because of the tendency that he might have to be lifted up with pride, God allowed Satan to send an angel to buffet the Apostle Paul. I think of a story that I read some 9 or 10 months ago about a young man that I would call a hoodlum, who would go into old folks' home and beat them severely and take whatever out of the home that he needed. It so happened that he had a 73-year-old man who lived by him. The young man was 24 years old, so the older man was 49 years his senior. The day came then where this young punk decided that he would beat up this 73-year-old man. This old man, if you please, was a retired Marine that taught self-defense classes for decades. And I saw the picture of the young man. His face was cut in many places. His face was black and blue. His face was puffy in many places. And I've said that to emphasize the word that's used here in the Greek language, translated as buffet. It means to use the fist. That's severe. So whatever happened to the Apostle Paul here by Satan's angel was severe. It was an in-the-flesh thing. If you will look back in the chapter that precedes chapter 12, I'll read only part of it. The record in verse 24 says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings, often in perils, and the word perils means dangers. Perils of waters, robbers, by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen or Gentiles, perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in labors often, painfulness or travail, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. All of those things are in the flesh things. It seems to me from verse 7 that Paul is making it extremely clear that the thorn in the flesh was indeed the angel sent by Satan to buffet Paul with in the flesh things, to cause him to realize his urgent need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of that context, Paul said in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We would expect Paul to have said in this verse, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my thorn in the flesh. But he did not say that. He said, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want you to see in verse 9, as you look at the verse carefully, that the words grace and power and strength are used interchangeably. The King James Version says in the middle portion of the verse, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. If I were translating here, I would make that to read, my strength is fully supplied. Most of you know that I have a country background, and so sometimes when I explain this text, I use poundage. Here's an application. If I'm going through some trial or some thorn in the flesh and I need 100 pounds of power or strength or grace, God does not give me 10 pounds, not 50 pounds, not 75 pounds. God gives me 100 pounds. Whatever amount of strength, brethren, that I need to go through a thorn in the flesh today, God supplies. Whatever thorn in the flesh you're going through in your life today as a child of God, you need to know God will fully supply the strength and power and grace to see you through. One thing that I found as we studied this text, that is that for all practical purposes, all brothers understand that we apply the text by understanding God gives thorns in the flesh today. We are in a severe trial today. A severe thorn in the flesh, a pandemic, has come upon the entire world. And the message here for God's people is, God's grace is sufficient. On the other side, brethren, we will be stronger. Notice what Paul says. I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I have an idea, brethren, that all of us feel weak and virtually helpless because of the coronavirus. And that's the feeling that we should have. And if we respond properly, that feeling will cause us to recognize our desperate need for God at this time. And I encourage every one of us, brethren, as we go forward, to realize God will not and has not forsaken us. He will empower us to get through this trial as He has throughout our entire life. Our time is limited this morning. May God's grace be upon you, brethren. May you continue your faithful walk with God. Take advantage of the very powerful lesson here given by the Apostle Paul, that as we walk through the trials and difficulties and thorns of life, God's strength, grace, and power will be with us. May God bless you.
Because He Lives, number 677, if you have a book. I know.
Brethren, at this time we're going to have the Lord's Supper, and if you wish to partake with us, you may do so. Then we'll lead us in a prayer now for the unleavened bread.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for the love and the mercy, the graciousness that you have shown us through giving your only Son. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the death of our Lord, for his resurrection, for his promise of coming and receiving us unto himself. We pray now, Father, that as we partake of this bread, and we do so in memory of our Lord, forgive us in Jesus' name.
Let us pray. In a like manner, Heavenly Father, we come before you again so very thankful for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. Father, as we remember his life and his love and his death on the cross at this time, we give thanks, Father, for his fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. At this time, Father, we ask that you may be with us as we partake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Pray with me as we offer thanks for the blessings that we've received and for the offering that we're about to give. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the love that you've given to us. Father, it's because of that love that we reciprocate by doing those things, Father, that will enhance and promote the spread of the gospel. We pray that the funds that we collect, dear God, may be used in such a way that others may be benefited through the receiving of your word, that they, dear God, may hear the truth through our efforts and our contribution, that they will confess that Jesus is their Lord, and that they be added, Father, to the body. We pray that our continued efforts and giving of our means, Father, will always and forever lead others to Christ. It is for these blessings we ask your continued grace and promise toward us. And Father, we ask for your blessings upon our efforts. Do your will. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Brethren, as Brother Boyce said a few moments ago, this is one of those times when it's offered for us and offered for you. But we're so glad you tuned us in. And we'll be doing this, and we'll get more accustomed to it. However, let's pray that we don't have to do this but a couple of more times, even if that much. Let's pray that this thing will be removed from us and that we can all be back together. But it's a wonderful thing that God has blessed us with the technology that even in times like this, while we're separated, yet we're still together, aren't we? We're together in our hearts and our souls and our spirit. So God bless each and every one of you. Let's have a word of prayer dismissal. Father, thank you so very much for the many blessings of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your love. We thank you, Father, for this beautiful day in which we could come together and partake of the supper of the Lord.
And we ask you, Heavenly Father, to bless all. And we pray that, Father, the things that we have done and the things that we continue to do in thy name will be done to thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray.